heart of Sharjah.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuaimi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
The world is definitely exciting, especially when you talk about space. So greetings to all of the cosmic explorers. Get ready to be swept off your feet as we dive into the captivating fusion of space and Islam. Yes, you heard that correctly. Brace yourselves for the celestial journey tonight that intertwines the wonders of the universe with the amazing Islamic teachings right here on Kalam Astro. We'll have lots to talk about. We'll be talking about space and Islam when it comes to the connection between space and the religion Islam. We will be talking about Islamic rulings on space, and as well, we will anticipate the celestial spectacle of Eid al-Fitr 2024 this year in the UAE with a total solar eclipse on April 8th. Lots to explore and lots to talk about, and I promise you very, very interesting discussions and topics on Kalam Astro. So buckle up and don't change the radio waves. Keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
The heart of Sharjah.
Pulse 95.
This is Pulse 95.
A story to tell.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuaimi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Now, I must say that I'm on the fence, to be honest, because there were lots of interesting topics to discuss when it comes to Islam and space. And I would love that we all embark on a celestial journey that intertwines the realms of space and Islam. And I would have definitely loved to have delved into the profound connections between the cosmos and Islamic teachings, but this would definitely take a thousands of episodes of Kalam Astro episodes to discuss these amazing findings. Yet again, I'm doing my best. So definitely would love all of you to get ready to be captivated by the amazing blend of spirituality and science, because we want to explore the mysteries of the universe through the lens of Islam. Now, during the whole month of Ramadan, we've done that. We've mentioned lots of Islamic teachings, or let's say verses from the Holy Quran, which are related to space. We've talked about the Big Bang theory, we've talked about the solar system, the 11 planets, we've talked about extraterrestrial life, the moon and the sun and its orbit, and so many more topics which did have verses in the Holy Quran that proves what science have found out in a very, very late time. I must add that there are so many Islamic astronomers throughout history, and they have played a pivotal role, of course, in advancing the study of astronomy from reading the Holy Quran, and that was from the golden age of the Islamic civilization to the present day. Because Muslim scholars have gazed up at the night sky and they sought to unravel the secrets of the cosmos. Now, these astronomers have meticulously observed the movements of celestial bodies, they charted the stars, and they laid the foundations for modern astronomy. And I can say we can thank them for doing that, because one of the amazing astronomers or luminaries were Ibn al-Haytham. Ibn al-Haytham, whose work on optics revolutionized the understanding of light and vision, and al-Biruni, whose astronomical observations, of course, were also centuries ahead of his time. And these Islamic astronomers not only studied the heavens, but they also integrated their findings with Islamic principles, and they viewed the universe as a manifestation of divine order and beauty. So there you have it. There is a connection between Islamic astronomers as well with space, derived from the Holy Quran. Now, I must say that their legacy do inspire us to appreciate the harmony between faith and reason, spirituality and science. So yeah, we will be talking more and delving more about Islam and its connection to space very, very soon. So I would love for all of you to get ready to soar among the stars and embark on a journey of cosmic enlightenment on tonight's enlightening episode of Kalam Astro, right here on Pulse 95.
You're listening to Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuaimi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Welcome back to Kalam Astro. Hope you had a wonderful break and are very, very ready to discuss space and Islam to find out what you didn't know about space and Islam. Now, there is a mystery of this topic, or in this topic, the mystery of the topic, and I would say is rarely mentioned and spoken about, but then again, it holds such importance within the religion and the world we live in at the moment. Now, there's so much to focus on this world of ours, the beloved Earth, blue planet, because it's full of gracious greens and blossoming blues. But what about the world beyond? What about space outside of Earth? What's going on there? What about the stretches beyond the beaming blue sky and stars, let's say? There is an entire universe beyond us, which is billions of galaxies like ours, stars and planets. So there's everything and so much more than our human minds could ever imagine. Yes, because if you think about it, Islam has also mentioned that there's extraterrestrial life, and we've discussed this a few weeks ago on so many verses in the Holy Quran that proves the universe might hold other life other than human beings. So probably what's out there, out of the blue planet, could be something that our human minds could never imagine. Now, according to Islam, our Earth is the lowest of the heavens and we are at the bottom of it all. All the beauty and majesty of our world is nothing compared to what's out there, out of the blue planet, much like all that is out there is nothing in comparison to the heavens. So in a world where everything is changing so rapidly, I would say we do forget to ponder, or let's say think or contemplate about what's not within our eyes' reach. So we probably wouldn't be thinking too much about unraveling the mysteries of space within Islam, or probably we don't even know the history of Islam and its relation to space. And I totally understand this, because we're so swept with this life, we're not thinking about any of that. Because as humans living on this earth, we barely have any idea about what lies in the rest of the world, or more so, how much of the rest of the world is there. We are one planet of many, one of many solar systems, one of many Milky Ways, one of many galaxies, and they're all held in one world. Because we can barely start to imagine the capacity of all this world that holds until we become, let's say, overwhelmed by its mere complexity. And it is definitely extraordinary, because there's so much that our minds cannot gather. And this is the beauty of this world, I would say. Now let's delve deeper into the study of space within Islam. Astronomy. Right, so the study of astronomy has a rich history within the Islamic tradition, particularly within the so-called Islamic Golden Age. And that Golden Age was from the 10th to the 12th century, through figures such as Al-Khwarizmi, Al-Farghani, Ibn al-Haytham, and Nasr al-Din al-Tulsi, to name a few. These are just a few of the historical, or let's say, astronomers from Islam. Now, the Muslims have made huge astronomical achievements within this period of time, which is the Golden Age. Also, and that definitely also adds to the works of Greek and Latin astronomers. Now, these works range from North Africa to Andalusia, Egypt, and the vast Mediterranean and Arab world. We can say so many astronomers have contributed greatly when it comes to the world of astronomy. And yeah, there you have it. There are so many great Islamic scholars who have contributed in the world of astronomy. Now, life outside of Earth. Let's talk about life outside Earth. In other words, aliens. A thing of myths, probably, often probably put in sci-fi movies and fictional genre. And many accused of either being a conspiracy theorist with the countless stories and theories of just crazy. But let's have a look and see what the position of aliens in Islam is, and how is it connected? Well, aliens are not the same as angels, because in Quran, it always talks about angels who are mentioned in the Holy Quran and who Muslims, we do believe in, of course. And when referring to angels, it means extraterrestrial life outside our Earth or even solar system. So yes, there is life outside of Earth, because Ibn Taymiyyah, an Islamic scholar, has said that Allah is the one who continues to create, therefore implying that Allah in His majesty has created other creatures other than humans, much like the animals and the jinn, who are spirits. So we can say, relatively, Islam and space are connected, not to mention the sun, the moon, and the stars, because these three elements are so deeply embedded within, let's say, the Holy Quran. And the Quran speaks fondly of the sun, the moon, and the stars through the abundance of verses, with various verses also reflecting night and day, the orbit of the sun, the orbit of the moon. Some of the examples in the Holy Quran are when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, "Blessed is the one who places the constellations in heaven and place therein a lamp and a moon giving light." So there you go. There's the moon being mentioned in a Quranic verse. And another one is that, did you see how Allah created seven heavens, one above another, and made the moon a light therein, and made the sun a lamp? So we can say there is an evidence, or let's say a very clear connection between Islam and space right there in the Holy Quran. And I must say, it's amazing. A book which dates back 8,400 plus years ago, before even astronomers or Islamic astronomers have even found everything that we've discussed, it was all actually mentioned in the Holy Quran. That was an amazing discussion, I would say. A quick break and we will be coming back. Don't go anywhere and keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
The heart of Sharjah.
This is Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuaimi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Welcome back to Kalam Astro. Right. So tonight we were having a very, very deep discussion when it comes to Islam and how Islam is related to space. And we've mentioned a few verses from the Holy Quran and talked about how many Islamic, let's say Muslim scholars who are astronomers who have used the verses of the Holy Quran to find star constellations, or let's say prove that the moon orbits the earth and how the earth orbits the sun and onwards. Right. But for now, let's talk in general about Islamic rulings when it comes to space exploration, because now the Muslim world is actually being very, very fascinated with space ventures, and they've ignited discussions on, let's say, the religious legitimacy of such studies or search, and this has definitely sparked so many debates on the permissibility of space activities. Right, so let's talk about Islamic rulings on space activities. Now, so many Muslim countries, of course, like Malaysia, Saudi Arabia, Iran, the United Arab Emirates, Pakistan, Turkey, all of them have ventured into space programs. They've launched satellites and they're planning missions to send Muslim astronauts into space. And we've done that here in the United Arab Emirates, of course. We've done that with Hazar al-Mansouri and many other Muslim astronauts, right? So the permissibility of these activities varies among some Islamic scholars, while some view space exploration as permissible as long as it aligns with Islamic principles and preserves Allah's creation. Others still are raising concerns about the risks involved, citing Quranic verses on self-preservation. Now, the debates on space tourism and Mars exploration is a bit very tough, to be honest, because the issue of space tourism did raise ethical dilemmas, let's say, with scholars, because they've issued diverse opinions on its permissibility. Now, some scholars caution against space tourism, and they cited risks because it's a very, very dangerous thing to do, while others do emphasize that we must try to find other life outside of this world. Now, the Mars One project face crudity for its, let's say, perceived suicidal nature, because there is suicide if you go all the way to space. This will definitely not guarantee you coming back as an astronaut. Being an astronaut is a very dangerous job. You don't know if you're coming back to life, or let's say coming back to Earth. So this has led to so many conflict opinions, or let's say conflicting opinions, within the Islamic community. But despite these debates, the UAE, the United Arab Emirates' successful Mars mission, did highlight the technological advancement in space exploration. So I think that gives it to all of the Muslim scholars who oppose space explorations. Now, exploring the compatibility of space travel with Islamic rituals is just like prayer and fasting. Scholars and astronauts have devised these methods to ensure religious observance in outer space is possible. Now, I always used to think about that astronaut Hazar al-Mansouri, when he went all the way to space. How did he pray? How did he manage to do that? How did he know the Qibla direction? How did he make ablution, wudu, and so on? This is so fascinating, by the way. Right, so then again, I don't think Islam would oppose any more knowledge. And if you go to explore space, this means exploration and knowledge in Islam. So I think Islam's emphasis on seeking knowledge and exploring the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the universe does encourage Muslims to delve into the mysteries of space, and that would be amazing for us Muslims to, let's say, be a step ahead in knowledge when it comes to space discoveries or space exploration, because Quranic verses also highlight the vastness of the cosmos and the world, and this urges believers like us Muslims to use our intellect and reason to comprehend the wonders of this creation. And to be honest, for me, the more you explore the wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get spiritually connected to Allah, spiritually connected to your religion. So I think space exploration is definitely permissible in Islam. Now, let's not forget that there are still challenges when you go all the way to space. There's a risk. But then again, if you're doing it for the purpose of knowledge and for the purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's definitely going to be a permissible journey for Muslims to go and explore space. So consulting with scholars and international partners, I would say Muslim nations can navigate these complexities and leverage the benefits of space programs for economic development, we can say innovation, and definitely mutual understanding on a global scale. Well, that's it for now. Don't go anywhere. We still have more to discuss. We'll be talking about the solar eclipse, which might affect the dates of Eid al-Fitr. So don't go anywhere and keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
This is Pulse 95. It's a Sharjah story.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Welcome back to Kalam Astro. Hope you've enjoyed the break and are ready for this groundbreaking news or update about Eid al-Fitr, which is going to be very, very soon, because today is April 7th and tomorrow there's a huge event of a total solar eclipse on April 8th, Monday, and this may affect the crescent moon sighting. Yes, the birth of Shawwal crescent will coincide with the total solar eclipse on April 8th, which is tomorrow. Now, the first day of Eid al-Fitr is most likely to fall on Wednesday, which is April 10th, due to the difficulty of sighting the crescent moon of Shawwal. And this marks the end of our lovely, lovely month of Ramadan that we're having fun with and enjoying fasting and eating so much delectable foods. But as a total solar eclipse is expected to be on April 8th tomorrow, and this is according to the Emirates Astronomical Association, the birth of Shawwal crescent will coincide with total solar eclipse on April 8th tomorrow. And this is according chairman of the association, Ibrahim Al-Jarwan. So this spectacular celestial event is taking place tomorrow on April 8th. And this is making it difficult to sight the Shawwal crescent after the sunset. And this means the Shawwal crescent will be visible after the sunset of April 9th, that's going to be on Tuesday, and this marks the last day of our great holy month of Ramadan. So sad, I'm so sad. Anyhow, so on April 8th, the moon will be covering the sun, and this will cast a shadow on Earth, and definitely this is a spectacular celestial event because it will come across North America and it will pass over Mexico, the United States and Canada. So the total solar eclipse will begin over the South Pacific Ocean, and there's a huge possibility that it might affect us right here in the United Arab Emirates. So the birth of the Shawwal crescent does mark the end of the holy month of Ramadan, but then Shawwal is the 10th month, and as you all know it, Shawwal is the 10th month of the Islamic Hijri calendar, and the first day is observed as Eid al-Fitr. So we can say the total solar eclipse will definitely influence all of the religious observance and the timing of Eid al-Fitr celebrations across the entire Islamic world, because it's not just us observing. It'll be Malaysia observing, it'll be Turkey observing, it will be Indonesia and so many other countries. So is Ramadan 29 days or is it 30 days? Well, that depends on the sighting of the crescent. I definitely do not want Ramadan to end. It's my favorite Islamic month. I enjoy fasting. I enjoy praying all the time, Taraweeh. I enjoy reading the Holy Quran a lot. I usually read it every day, but when it comes to Ramadan, it's just got a special taste, and everything just seems to be very spiritually, let's say, increased in spirituality. Yeah, everything is just increased in spirituality, and everyone's just happy with the family gatherings and the traditions and everything. So I really do not want Ramadan to end. So I hope it's not 29 days. Let's hope it's 30 days. So let's see what's going to happen tomorrow on April 8th and get to see what the Emirates Astronomical Association have to say about it. Fingers crossed, it's 30 days, not 20 days. A quick break and we are coming back. Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
You're listening to Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Yes, this is Kalam Astro. And I must say, dear listeners, thank you so much for joining me on the celestial odyssey through the realms of Islam and space exploration during the holy month of Ramadan. I truly enjoyed this journey because we've talked a lot about Islam, right? And definitely, again, your unwavering support and enthusiasm have illuminated my cosmic conversations, I would say, and have enriched our understanding all together of the mystical connection between faith and the universe. Well, I must say that as we approach the joyous occasion of Eid al-Fitr, which is coming very, very soon, we will have to bid farewell to this special month with heartfelt gratitude for your presence and engagement with all of the interesting Islam-related discussions to space. So, and again, tonight's journey has been very captivating. We had enjoyed the exploration of the relationship between space and Islam in general. We delved into topics that are very rarely discussed yet deeply significant, from the mysteries of space within Islamic teachings to the diverse perspectives on space explorations, religious legitimacy in the Muslim world. And we've also journeyed through the Islamic or Muslim scholars who are very much related to astronomy. So yeah, as we look ahead of our topics, we've delved into the fascinating intersection of space and Islam. And we talked about the pioneering works of Al-Khwarizmi to the astronomical insights of modern day scholars as well. And once again, I must say thank you so much for joining me during the holy month of Ramadan and for your participation, your text on 4215. Definitely your curiosity and engagement have fueled my cosmic conversations. Definitely, I ignited a spark of wonder and contemplation in the world of the universe and its relation to Islam and space. So thank you very much. And I must say, we must prepare ourselves to another voyage because Eid al-Fitr is coming very, very soon. Again, that doesn't mean Kalam Astro has ended, because we still have more discussions and more amazing space wonders to talk about. So until we meet again, it's going to be after Eid al-Fitr, or it's going to be after Ramadan ends. I would say may the celestial wonders of the universe continue to inspire and enlighten your path. I would wish you a blessed Eid al-Fitr and a cosmic journey ahead. Do not forget me. Text me on 4215. Let me know what do you guys want to talk about next after Eid al-Fitr. And I definitely hope that you have a very, very blessed Eid al-Fitr. Thank you for tuning in to Kalam Astro. Until the next cosmic rendezvous, I would say keep looking up at the stars and dreaming of the cosmic adventures that lie ahead. Ramadan Kareem and Eid Mubarak from Pulse 95.
This is Pulse 95.
All day, every day.
This is Pulse 95.